Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis, and I am ecstatic to have you join me yet again for another fantastic episode. I appreciate you. For those of you who have been watching and tuning in on a regular basis, thank you so very much for your support. If you're new to the channel, thank you for making the decision to stop on over and listening to me and hearing my perspective on what's going on. I appreciate your support, whether you're new or just joining. By the way, if you're new, please come on back, tell someone else about the show, and bring them back for the next. Whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Now we need to get into it. We need to get into it because these Dems are losing it. Their superstars are more than crazy and out of touch, completely tone deaf. Here's a sample of what I mean. Watch this.
City law enforcement, local law enforcement, they are always going after crime. And they don't say, oh, you committed a murder? Oh, but you're an immigrant? Well, let me let you go, right? So they are always focused on crime. They continue to say things like the illegals and that they broke the law coming in. But what they're not telling the American people is that it is a civil violation. It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's crime. It's not a crime.
Okay. Now, when you see that, don't you just cringe, right? It's so cringeworthy, and they're sliding, they're getting worse. But we need to talk about Jasmine Crockett yet again, unfortunately. Now, I do think that personally, she's trying to be the Democrat superstar right now. She is in direct competition with AOC, in my opinion, of being the most cringeworthy member of Congress right now. She's competing to be perhaps the most unintelligent one in Congress right now, okay? But Jasmine Crockett simply made a claim recently. She recently went on a rant on another, you know, left-leaning journalist show, and she opened her mouth and inserted her foot yet again. She made the comment that it's not a crime to enter the country illegally. Let me repeat that. Jasmine Crockett says it's not a crime to enter the country illegally. It's not only wrong, but it's an outright insult to the intelligence of the American people. Now, this isn't for your benefit because you more than likely know this, okay? Perhaps some of you don't, but more than likely you do. But this is for Jasmine Crockett, okay? Just to inform her. Under U.S. law, Ms. Crockett, specifically 8 U.S.C. 1325, improper entry into the United States is a federal misdemeanor. It is punishable by fines and up to 6 months in jail for first-time offenders. For repeat offenders, the consequences are even worse. They're even more severe. Fines and up to 2 years in prison. So for Ms. Crockett to sit there as a member of Congress, for her to sit there as literally a member of Congress and completely ignore this fact is nothing short of irresponsible. It's so incredibly unintelligent. How can a lawmaker be so utterly clueless about the very laws she's sworn to uphold, right? This kind of ignorance, or worse, willful disregard for the law should not be tolerated from anyone in Congress, let alone someone who is supposed to represent the people. Crockett is effectively downplaying the significance of a federal crime. And by doing so, she's disrespecting the very system that keeps this country safe, keeps the people of her state safe. After all, she lives in a border state. Now, every state is a border state, as you know, after the Biden administration, but specifically because she's from Texas. Her comments encourage lawlessness, giving the green light for more people to literally disregard the rules of our immigration system. How about your first act in this country is not committing a crime? How about that? It's not about being cruel to immigrants. It's not about maintaining order and security. But apparently for Crockett, protecting the safety and integrity of the United States is less important than pandering to a radical base that wants open borders and chaos and crime. What's even more enraging is this hypocrisy at play. If Jasmine Crockett truly believes that illegal entry is no crime, why stop there? Why even have laws? Why have Congress? Why legislate, right? She wouldn't stand for someone breaking into her very own home. But when it comes to the country, she's perfectly fine with turning a blind eye to the law. Now, this kind of logic is dangerous. It's dangerous. And it's reckless. It's irresponsible. And it's why the Democrat Party is so out of touch with reality. It's a true reflection. It's just another example. Crockett's statement isn't just wrong. It's a slap in the face to every American citizen who believes in the rule of law. It's a slap in the face for all of our wonderful immigrants who are in this country right now, who came through the system legally, right? They paid their dues, they waited their time, they went through due process, and they gained the opportunity to become U.S. citizens. It's a complete slap in their face. The fact that she can stand there as a lawmaker, someone who legislates and to make such a ridiculous and harmful claim is beyond frustrating. I become so irritated. It's time, okay? It's time to stop tolerating this nonsense and hold those in power accountable for pushing these very, very dangerous ideas. I do believe that a Jasmine Crockett is more than interested in the next 4 years of, you know, slamming the gavel here, making grandstanding gestures, continuing to put out videos, and continuing in this ridiculous tirade and tour of stupidity. She is in direct competition with AOC to become the most cringeworthy Congress member. She's got a lot of competition. She's got Ilhan, she's got AOC, she's got Ayanna Pressley and others, but she's really truly starting to climb her way to the top. This is someone we need to watch out for. And every time she opens her mouth and inserts her foot, we need to be mindful of that and keep the people mindful so that she does not return. The people of Austin, Texas need to not re-elect a Jasmine Crockett. And speaking of superstars of the Democrat Party, we'll have to bring up another. Now, we always have The View, the ladies of The View. And this time it wasn't Whoopi Goldberg, but the lovely Joy Behar. Joy Behar this week had something to say. Listen.
I think they should walk out en masse.
Naked or clothed?
Naked. Naked would be good.
Naked could be interesting.
I mean, they should walk out, you know. Is there going to be a laugh track, by the way? They should walk out. I think that a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
I would refer you back to Nancy Pelosi tearing up the State of the Union. We still remember that. That was a moment of protest. Mm-hmm. And just sitting there and being docile is not working. He's over the edge. He's, as you put it out there in the intro, he is, I think that we've passed the point of no return with him, and we need to really stand up to him big time. And they are in the position of doing that, and they should do it.
Well,
we certainly can't expect the Republicans to do anything.
I agree with you, Joy, to a certain extent. I actually don't think that they should show up at all.
Now, I think it's an understatement to say that the women of The View are clearly out of touch with reality. And especially so if they think that the right move for Democrats was to walk out of President Trump's speech to Congress. I mean, Joy Behar's ridiculous comment that Trump is past the point of no return and urging Democrats to stand up against him during the speech just goes to show how desperate and childish their approach has become. This is how they think. These are grown, accomplished women. Right. And instead of having a mature, reasonable conversation about the issues facing America, The View suggests, the women of The View suggest that the Democrat Party, Democrat members of Congress and others should throw a tantrum and walk out like spoiled children. This was their suggestion, obviously, before the speech was given. This is the kind of behavior that I say is so incredibly embarrassing, right? Cringeworthy, not only for the hosts, but for the entire Democrat Party. And I would have to think that the Democrat electorate would just have to tuck their heads in a hole from embarrassment. They should be focused on solving problems and moving the country forward, not engaging in petty, childish stunts to try to get attention, right? What's even more frustrating is how Joy Behar and the others on The View continue to promote the idea that President Trump is some sort of enemy to the country, when in reality, his policies have led to historic economic growth, lower unemployment on the way, and a stronger America. What they have a hard time accepting is that this is who the people wanted in office. The American people spoke. They actually approve overwhelmingly for Donald Trump, his cabinet, and the maneuvers that he's made in the first 6 weeks. But instead of recognizing this his success, they continue to harp on hatred and division. It's clear, so very clear, that The View is more concerned with making political statements than actually supporting the American people. If Behar and her colleagues had any respect for the office of the presidency whatsoever, and they clearly do not, they'd understand that disagreeing with Trump doesn't mean throwing temper tantrums. It means having a serious, respectful discussion about policy, right? Not just childish stunts. Now, the hypocrisy here is truly unbelievable. Democrats constantly talk about unity and civility and togetherness, yet The View is openly encouraging them to divide the country further by walking out of a major address, encouraging this childish, shameful behavior. And if anyone needs to walk out, it's the hosts of The View, who are too blinded by their hatred for Trump to do anything productive for the country or for their viewers. Now, instead of encouraging adult behavior, which they clearly don't have and cannot display, they're fostering a culture of childishness and division. Now, this is exactly why the American people are so fed up with the left. This is the mandate that they gave Donald Trump to get in and squash this division, bring America back to common sense. They're more interested, The View and others like them, in stoking hate and creating chaos than they are in actually governing. Behar and her so-called hosts should be ashamed of themselves for suggesting such a counterproductive, ridiculous move. But I don't believe it'll stop anytime soon. I think they're so full of garbage and so full of hate and vitriol and contempt that more is to come. But we'll continue to watch, unfortunately and begrudgingly, as the women of The View continue to make fools out of themselves, simply to point out that they are moving further and further left, wanting chaos and divide, while Donald Trump continues to succeed and puts America first. Now, thirdly, lastly, and top fool for the Democrat Party is Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is making moves, everyone. Everyone knows that he has always had his eyes on the presidency in the future. And Gavin Newsom's sudden attempt to rebrand himself as a moderate is nothing short of absolutely laughable, especially after years of pushing radical leftist policies and enacting far left policies in California. For years, Newsom has been one of the most vocal advocates for progressive policies, pushing for things like sanctuary cities, defunding the police, feces in the streets, extreme climate regulations, you know, mask mandates, right? Keeping parents out of the knowledge of what's going on with their children by way of, you know, hiding their gender in schools. These actions have made life harder for ordinary Californians, driving them out of the state in droves, raising the cost of living, increasing crime, and driving businesses out of the state completely. Now, as if by magic, all of a sudden, Newsom is trying to pivot and act like some sort of reasonable centrist. But anyone with half a gnat's brain knows that this is a transparent attempt to repackage himself as a candidate for 2028. Now, he should have learned from his friend Kamala Harris that the internet is permanent. He is recorded and we will play it back. We will not allow him to forget. This is a fool's campaign that he's on right now. It's nothing but political theater. Okay. This sudden shift is so blatantly obvious that it's literally insulting. Newsom has spent years running California into the ground with his radical policies, only to now act like he suddenly found moderation, right? The reality is he's terrified of how badly his far left agenda has damaged his image and the future of his political career, to which he doesn't have any, right? He knows that his chances of running for president in 2028 are much better if he distances himself from the disastrous policies of the past, making the attempt like his friend Kamala, but it will be an empty attempt. It's an empty, opportunistic move. Newsom is trying to convince the American people that he's a reasonable, common sense leader, but all anyone has to do is look at the results of his tenure in California to see the lies behind his words. Okay. Newsom's new moderate stance is a direct result of the backlash his far left agenda has received, not only in California, but across the entire country. Now, Gavin Newsom is listening. He is paying attention. He's smart enough to do that. And I will give him credit for this. Unlike his friend Kamala, he is able to put a sentence together. He is able to articulate. He's really good and slick at not answering a question, right? Evading, you know, an answer, right? He is able to do that. And in some way, he's talented in that way. But California's homeless crisis, rising crime rates, skyrocketing housing costs, and out of control spending has made it clear that Newsom's radical approach is failing. It has failed him. And his attempt to rewrite his own history and present himself as some beacon of reason is an insult to the countless Californians who have suffered under his politics. It's obvious that his new approach isn't about helping people. It's not about hearing people. It's not about helping Californians, right? It's about positioning himself for a presidential run in 2028. He's trying to distance himself from his own disastrous record. And it's as phony as it gets, right? Let's be blunt. This is not about a moment of self-reflection or growth for Newsom. It's a calculated move to salvage his political future. This man is a master of manipulation, and this flip-flop is nothing more than an effort to create a new narrative for himself. He spent years pandering to the radical left, but now he's trying to win over moderates and independents by pretending to be something he is absolutely not. What's truly infuriating is the fact that Newsom seems to think he can just erase the last few years of his disastrous governance with a few speeches and policy shifts in a podcast. Okay, watch the video where he has Charlie Kirk on his podcast.
What was also the big wokeism thing?
First of all, it wasn't just the projection of certain narratives, which we could obviously go through.
Yeah.
But it's when policy started to come forward.
And what kind of policy?
Hiring practices. When it was,
there was DEI decades ago.
Yeah.
It was just called outreach and inclusion.
But we saw mass adoption, what we saw. And not only that, we saw pledging of billions of dollars of donations to racial justice from the biggest types of corporations imaginable.
Fair point. And that was sort of post George Floyd.
That's what I'm saying. You had a combustible
effect.
And
was that wrong? I mean, to address the issue of racial, there's legitimate issues as it relates to past practices.
What was insulting to a lot of people is, number one, where's the money going? Because the top premier BLM charity ended up being a racket.
issues there.
With Patrice Cullors, like where'd that $100 million go? So all of a sudden we learn that, and all these pledges of corporate dollars were going to this woman that's like hiring her like brother for personal security.
Right.
And that like a lot of, and you would even agree like that.
That became like the poster child for the broader movement.
But number two, which I think was most important, was that it elevated then this scholarly community that was otherwise fringe, like Robin DiAngelo and other people, and her book, White Fragility. Literally the entire premise of her book is that white people need to stop being so fragile about race. You need to sit down and shut up and hear how racist you are. And she was brought on tours to corporations across the country. By the way, just so you understand, this was a phenomenon over months and months, and it didn't quite catch up in time for the 2020 election. I do believe that if you guys would have been a little less insane on crime in the summer of 20, you would have completely clobbered us in November of 20. Mm. It was the riots that even made 2020 close.
Right.
But then it was the extension of all of the what we would call woke stuff.
Right. And defund police.
Yeah. I mean, Minneapolis literally had to hold a special vote saying, like, should we still have a police department?
Yeah. That was lunacy.
I mean, but Governor, lunacy. I don't want
to. By the way, you're talking to someone who's never supported the defund police.
I was
explicit.
Now, if you actually pay attention to Gavin Newsom when he's talking, watch his facial expressions, and listen to the back and forth, you realize, if you watch his body language, that he's actually not listening. He is there to make sure that the people see him to drive this narrative. I personally believe that no Republican should go on his show. We should not give him the time of day, the energy, or the platform to drive this narrative that he is now a moderate and he's even open to conflict, and he's open to debate, and he's open to having conversations with people who think on the opposite aisle of him, right? He'll be able to claim that. We should leave him high and dry to stew in his past failures. His new moderate stances is not just disingenuous, it's offensive. People are suffering in California because of the policies he pushed, and now he wants to pretend like he's on their side. Newsom's record is out there for everyone to see. We will not let him forget, and no amount of political maneuvering can change the fact that he's been a key figure in pushing California towards the brink of destruction. His pivot to moderation is nothing but a last-ditch effort to salvage his image and set himself up for 2028. It's a bid for a presidential run in 2028. The American people aren't fooled by this shameless attempt to rewrite history like his girl Kamala tried, and they shouldn't be. Newsom may think he's playing the long game, but all he's doing is showing just how far he'll go to salvage his own career. No matter the cost, this is how far he'll go. The people he's supposed to serve will suffer. We should not help him advance his narrative or give him a platform to build his national profile. Instead, what we ought to do as Republicans, as a party, we should focus on exposing his failed record and offering a strong alternative to his leftist vision for the entire country. There's no benefit of engaging with someone whose only goal is to further his political ambitions at the cost of the American people. And that, my friends, is the savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.